the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for being along with us. And as I mentioned a minute ago, we have three people about to join us, and I'm going to ask each of them to introduce themselves to you, and just so you have a sense of who's who in the studio with me. And then we're going to talk a little bit, actually more than a little bit, about the Youth Maker Accelerator program that they're a part of. Asada, do you want to get us started?
Sure. Hi, my name's Asada. I am a recent graduate from Winchester Thurston, class of 2025, and I'm currently doing a gap year.
Hi, I'm Rowan. I'm in 11th grade at Alderdice. I crochet. I make, like, bags and other accessories like that.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Adrian. I'm a mixed media artist who primarily makes fursuits, and I graduated from Riverview High School in 2024.
It's wonderful to have all of you here today. I'm curious how each of you found making, or maybe making found you. You know very well that while there are lots of people that enjoy doing what you do, as you were growing up, you were probably unique, at least amongst people you went to school with or in a smaller community, in terms of the passion and talent you had. At least I'm guessing that. When did you know that this was something you liked, you especially had a passion for? And anybody, feel free to jump in. Rowan, it looks like you were about to say something.
Well, I started crocheting in, like, 2019. My mom got me, like, introduced to it, and I was really bad at first, but then I, like, did it a lot, and now I'm, like, pretty good at it, I'd say.
Did it just come suddenly that, oh, I know how to do this?
No, definitely not. It, like, took me a while. I didn't really have anyone to, like, teach me. I kind of taught myself with, like, YouTube and, like, books from the library, so it definitely took a while.
Adrian, how about you?
So I got into fursuit making around the same time Rowan started crocheting, so 2019. And my dad, I wanted to buy one, and he was like, no, you have to learn to make one. So I ended up learning to make them, and that's what I do for my job.
That's incredible. Asada, do you have a story of origin, so to speak, for the ceramics you do?
Oh, ceramics.
Well, anything.
Well, I've been, like, drawing since I've been in third grade, but I was taking a pottery class my senior year of high school, and I kept finishing my projects early, so I just started making little animals, and now I'm here.
That's neat. So you'd finish early, and either your teacher or you would say, let's do something with this additional time that you have. Do you think anybody, maybe not, is talented as do so with as much talent as you each have, but are we all makers of some sort, capable of, you know, using our hands to create something?
Oh, absolutely.
I think I admire all three of you for not only the level of accomplishment you have, but for putting yourself out there. Adrian, tell me about the fursuit. So your dad said, no, let's not buy one, let's make one. Did you have a particular, well, certainly you had a design, but what was it, that your first one?
My first ever design that I made was a white husky mix. She had a black spot around her eye with a blue mohawk.
I can pick, that's a great description. And these actually get, have you sold them, and are they worn by folks?
Yeah, I've sold a bunch, especially at local conventions like Anthrocon, and I do their art show every year and sell my work there.
Pittsburgh has a huge, the first convention is typically here, so there's a huge market. Are you making them all yourself, or do you have others helping you?
I make them 100% myself.
So you must have a backlog and orders, I would think.
Yeah, I definitely do.
That's exciting to do that. Can you, without giving away all the secrets, I'm trying to wonder where you would even begin. Do you sketch a design, or what do you do to create these?
Typically, I start with a base, so I make a lot of foam work, and I carve a lot of foam to shape it, just basic upholstery foam that you use in chairs and stuff like that.
So, and once that makes sense, you kind of get it done with the thing nobody sees, but the person wearing it. It's going to be important that person is comfortable. And then the finishing parts, I guess, is it fabric that has fur attached to it, or how do you do that?
Yeah, it's a bunch of fur, which is just plastic fibers and stuff like that, and you tape the whole base, pattern it onto the fur. It's a very long, difficult process.
Yeah, it's because you don't typically think of how these are made. Now, a question, I don't know if this has come up, but I know from some friends that, I mean, it can get really uncomfortable in terms of if these suits are not, if they don't fit you well. And I assume you use foam. I mean, do you have to customize them for the person?
Yeah, they're customized by or for each person using measurements. So I take about 10 different measurements for the head. And then for bodies, there's something called a duct tape dummy, which is basically just they plastic wrap themselves and duct tape themselves and then send that to me.
Oh, I love it. And what about keeping the person cool inside? Because you can get really hot if you're wearing a suit like that.
Fans and water are your best friend.
Do you build those in?
Or? So I want to learn how to do that. That's something that I'm going to need my brother's help with, because he's like a tech nerd, so he knows a ton of that stuff. But some people do make fans that go inside the head, while others have something called a neck fan that they wear under their suit, and they just put it through the mouth.
What a cool idea. I mean, anybody that's wearing a fully encapsulated uniform, it's going to cause that kind of issue. So that's fascinating. I never thought you could probably have a little battery-operated fan helping you one way or another. That's really cool. Asada, can you tell me a bit about your process and creating things?
Well, I start out, I have like an entire Pinterest board full of a bunch of little animals and things I want to make. And then I will sketch out a subject from a bunch of different angles, so I make sure I have the shapes right. And then I make a lot of like little rodents, so I can start with a pinch pot base and then sculpt around that, or I might just kind of slap a bunch of clay into a block and then hollow it out afterwards. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the pinch pots, which I've always liked so much. Do you take your items to market?
This is my first time selling ceramics in an art market, and also being in an art market. So,
well, congratulations! It's going to be wonderful. And as part of the Maker Accelerator program, you've gotten some training from Handmade Arcade. We'll talk about that in a moment. Rowan, before we chat, I'm looking here. Somebody named Rachel. Do you know a Rachel? Rachel is in Wilkinsburg and says, "We're so proud of you. I wanted to share that message so you'd get that right away."
Yeah, thanks. That's my mother.
Oh, how nice. And tell us about the work that you do.
Well, first I usually like think of an idea or like a design that I want to make. Then I have this little notebook full of like all these different like sketches and ideas that I have. So I draw it out and pick like a color scheme that I want to use. And then I just like make it Like, I'll either find like a, I usually use granny squares for my bag, so I usually like find a like a picture online that I'll like try to replicate as close as I can. And then I make like however many granny squares needed for that bag, and then I sew it together. And then I usually put liners on the insides of my bags, which makes them like more sturdy and more practical for everyday use. And I have a large variety of those that I've gotten from like a variety of places, and I usually sew those in, and then like finish up any other details that I need.
Sounds beautiful. Have you sold much yet?
No, I haven't. This is my first time selling anything, which I'm really excited for, and I hope to like make a business out of this after the Handmade Arcade and like sell stuff on Etsy.
So the Youth Maker Accelerator program was created by Handmade Arcade precisely to help folks like you who are very talented, are handcrafting things right here in our region, to connect you with people that admire the work you're doing or who may not even know about it. And there is going to be a Handmade Arcade takes place on December 5th and December 6th at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. And you can learn more at handmadearcade.org. All three of you will be there, I hope. And how has Handmade Arcade's Accelerator Program helped prepare you for not only this upcoming holiday market, but just making a business out of the ideas that you have?
We've had a lot of talks about marketing and how to expand your business as well. And on top of that, like how to price things, how you should set up at markets, and so on. So it's been super helpful.
Did anything surprise you about pricing suggestions or marketing suggestions?
I did find out that I'm severely underpricing things.
I'm not surprised, not in you personally, but I think people often, myself included, undervalue what we do. I think some of that's human nature, and then you think, oh, I love doing this, so, you know, why should I get paid for it?
There's more enjoyment in doing it for fun than there is for doing it for work.
That's true. How about the two of you, Rowan or Asada, anything that kind of was key to you as you went through the coaching that the Accelerator program gave you?
I would say that like the organization aspect has been helpful, and I've like caught onto that pretty well, but the actual making of the of my pieces has been kind of difficult, because I also tend to make stuff for fun, so it's kind of hard to get into the mindset of I'm making this for someone else to buy.
Yeah, it's well, Adrian was just kind of alluding to it. If you take something that gives you pleasure and make it something you do for a living, it kind of, whether you want it to or not, takes on a different texture. And sometimes it's hard to part with your art, too, as you do that. Rowan, what about for you? One thing I thought of was inventory in your case, too, because most of your, I think, would most of your work be made to order, kind of like Adrian says?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, hopefully. I'm hoping at the market that people, like, tell me to, like, make something for them, because that'd be fun. Although it is, like, more stressful when I'm making something specifically for someone else, because, like, I feel like it needs to be, like, more perfect than it would be for myself. Like, I need to make sure there's nothing that's, like, could go wrong or anything. And yeah, for inventory, like, I need to, like, make sure that I have, like, enough of everything, which, like, I guess I haven't been struggling with that much, but, I mean, I have been, like, working constantly to try to get, like, enough things made for the market.
Did Handmade Arcade's Accelerator program talk at all about, oh, things like incorporating or keeping track of how much it costs you to make something and knowing how to set pricing, you're all nodding your head.
I've got my color-coded budget in Google Sheets.
I might need to borrow that from you. There's a lot. I mean, the cost of your time, and I think in your case, Adrian, the cost of the materials, that's got to be a huge cost.
Yeah, materials.
Oh, sorry.
Materials for one project is about $200 to like $500.
And feel free to say no, but what is the pricing like for, like, if I wanted, I guess, just the head of a Husky, like you just mentioned?
That would be an estimate of $800 to $900.
And so you know roughly what your labor is, you know what the materials are, and what the appropriate margin or markup should be, because there's shipping, there's going back and forth with the customer for help they might need. There's a lot.
Yeah, I'm definitely still learning about it too.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you have somebody to be able to coach you through it. We just have another minute or two left. Do any of you have your own websites that you'd like to point people to for the work that you're doing? You're welcome to mention it now, or we can simply point out that if you go to handmadearcade.org and click on the Youth Maker program, I think you'll find links there too.
Yeah, I don't have a website, but I do have an Instagram at @asata.ab.
@ASATA.B.
A-B.
A-B.
Yep.
And any
Yeah, I also have an Instagram at Sunrise Stitches by Rowan, no spaces.
And my Instagram is WolfCanWolfWill.
WolfCanWolfWill, I love it. It's been a lot of fun to have all three of you here. Anything else either of you, any of you would like to say? Thank you. I know it's a busy time, and this holiday market is right around the corner, so I hope you'll have a good time there and enjoy it, learn a lot, and you'll be amongst a lot of people that have been, selling handmade goods for many years, so it'll be fun for all of you to get a chance to be up next to them. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us.
There's Asata, Adrian, and Rowan. And once again, the Handmade Arcade Holiday Market is December 5th and December 6th at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center.